B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Well, good morning, everybody. After an ugly weekend, I was off yesterday, and I kind of needed it to calm down a little bit. After a lovely trip to Miami with about 50,000 other Eagle fans, that culminated into one of the most embarrassing losses in recent memory. And I've listened to all the excuses that Doug Peterson and all the players made about losing to Miami, and it angers me further because it's all nonsense and it's all excuses. After the Cowboys give you life by losing at home to the Bills, you squander it before a house on the road, packed with your own fans. One of the most embarrassing and pathetic losses that we'll see. How in the world do I hear words like, they wanted it more, we took them lightly? Are you kidding me? And the stumbling and the bumbling from Doug Peterson and his day after trying to explain that nonsense? Inexcusable. From every aspect, inexcusable. To allow the Dolphins to score touchdowns on five straight possessions? That's outrageous. To not call timeout, one of the most absurd moments of that game. The play that turns everything upside down. The play that gives the Dolphins life is the gadget play. And you don't call timeout? What? The answer is, well, we've seen them run gadgets before. We knew they were going to run gadgets. You didn't know that formation. Clearly, you were caught with your pants down. And then when Zach Berman asked the question in the best possible way, hey, Doug, what's the downside? There is none. Nothing. Yeah, you know why? Because you messed up. You fouled up by not calling timeout. The first thing you do when they come out with that formation is timeout. And then 90% chance they're not going to run the play again. When Doug says they're going to run the same, no, they're not. And by the way, if they do, at least you're a little prepared. Hey, look, if they come out like this, this is what we're going to do. I mean, that is absurd that he didn't call timeout there. That's negligence. What head coach doesn't call? I've seen it a million times. You don't recognize the formation, you call timeout. You go right down the field. Boom, 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 boom. Touchdown. You got to take their lungs. The last thing you do is give a team like that life. Right? You got to blow them out early. You got to get out. You got to blow them out early. And here's the argument about run versus pass. The reason why we talk about run versus pass is not that you score 28 or you're predominantly throwing the football. When you run the ball from the beginning and you mix in a real game plan and you mix in balance and you start to hit and start to run, it makes it easier down the line. You take a team's will when you run the football, particularly when the advantage that you have is on both sides of the line. You just gave the right tackle $1 zillion. What, are you serious? And then we're talking about, oh, they were gassed. Well, that's the whole point about going forward. You know, your body, imposing your will, getting the clock to run. What kind of nonsense game plan was that? I don't care about 28 points. You gotta do things the right way. You gotta impose your will. This is how you win in this league. But there were so many mistakes. The biggest mistake was the not calling timeout, which I just don't understand. But there were plenty of moments. The defense, like, what are you doing? Where's the timeout on defense? Where's the, all right, boys, we can't let this happen. Where's the pride from a team that is supposed to be in the hunt for the NFC East in the playoffs? I mean, the Cowboys are trying to give it to you. And you lose to the Dolphins? When your entire, it was unbelievable. I was in the stadium. Thanks to Philly Sports Trips and Vince and Cavs Catering and Bob and Vince and the Rizzuto family. They were terrific. And then we had all these people there. And then, like, you just saw the Eagle fans everywhere. The whole stadium was all Eagle fans. You know, chants and cheers. And it was awesome. Like, they were just begging for a blowout. At least just a win. And you lose. Wow. It makes you question everything. It makes you question whether or not Doug Peterson is really a good coach. It makes you question about Howie and his personnel decisions. And, you know, I keep thinking back to Belichick and the words of Belichick, that when you win the Super Bowl, to make sure guys are hungry, you got to pare that roster down by 20%. And I just saw a team that quit in front of all these people, spent all this money to fly down here to see you, and you give that, you lay an egg like that? It makes you wonder whether or not 2017 was just a thing of luck, that it was just our turn, that they had nothing to do with anything other than the stars aligned. I mean, what are we really supposed to believe? That you won three games, and what, you were lucky? Because I don't see sustain. I look at this season, and it's a joke. It's a joke. The way this season has gone. Winnable game. My God, you lose to that team? Good morning, Pat.
That was awful. By far the worst loss I've ever seen.
I mean, when the door's open for you.
Yeah, they went down there for 80 degrees and sunny and an easy win.
Yeah.
The problem is they you can't do that in the NFL.
No, who do you think you are? By the way, you were a 6-16. Like, what, are you serious?
Yeah, was Doug Peterson reading his book?
Hey.
The whole game?
What are you, I mean, really, you're a 500 team. I mean, that's awful. Who are you?
I was at a loss on Sunday. A complete loss. Under no circumstances should you give up 37 points to the Dolphins.
No. None.
And they just mailed it in second half.
You know, and then you hear Brandon Graham say, we played, took them lightly, we did this, we did that. Oh, stop. And all these other guys, everybody's making excuses.
Oh, Doug Peterson said they're a good football team.
You know, I know. No, hey, Doug, they're not a good football team. And if I hear him one more time play the athlete card, well, if you're a professional athlete, well, if you play competitive sports, hey, dude, first of all, you sucked as a quarterback, all right? So I wouldn't be putting my resume out there like, whoa, I'm Dan Marino. Second of all, it's obnoxious. It's completely obnoxious. Show the fans a little respect. Because you know what? They gave you the respect by flying down there and spending all that money down there.
I just don't know who he's trying to convince when he says they're a good football team. Like himself? You can't be trying to convince the fans.
I love this talking circles. Well, it's not the game plan. It's not our play call. Well, guess what, dude? And they go, wait, well, is it the talent level? No, it's not the talent level. It just happened. No, it didn't just happen. The bottom line is they're not good, right? They're not well coached. They're not prepared. They're not a good football team. And you know what? That's the truth. They got beat by a team because they're not good.
They're a team that thinks that they can turn it on at any moment, and they can't.
And you know what needs to happen? They need to make serious changes. Serious changes.
Oh, Doug was asked about that yesterday, but he said no.
Yeah, well, you know, of course he's going to say no.
Because, you know, I mean, that coaching staff is so impressive. Everybody's improved.
Of course. Of course.
I mean, Carson Walsh.
Look at that offense. Look at those receivers. Look at the quarterback who has looked horrible ever since DeFilippo left. Forget about Frank Reich. We've already talked about his game plan for ad nauseum. I mean, you know, this is a not, and the idea, hey, Doug, just say, look, we need to be better. We messed up the coaching staff. I did a poor job. You know, there's really, you know, you lost in an embarrassing way. Just take it, move on. I tell you, it completely just dashes any hope and any faith you have in them. I got just a few words for you, Pat. Play the song. Play the bleeping song.
I got to get it, so give me a second.
All right. Play it on your way back. Drives you insane. All right, we got lots to get to today, and I need to. I got lots of pent up vitriol because I was off yesterday, and after that incredible time meeting all those Eagle fans, I kept thinking about these Eagle fans everywhere. They were all down there. I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and I go, "Where you at? Where's the team at? We love you. Where you at?" Sixers, baby. 610-632-0975. I hate doing that, too. I heard Mark say, you know, pitting the teams together against one another. I don't like to do that either. But I needed something. We got Flyers tonight. We had Sixers last night. I need something to I'm incensed. Just to make that go away. Let me tell you about LaBruciano Roofing. God forbid you need a new roof. You need guys that can execute, all right? Unlike your football team, I'm going to recommend the master, Anthony LaBruciano, the most trusted name in roofing in Pennsylvania. As soon as you meet Anthony, you'll see why he's hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Anthony meets with every single customer personally to be certain that you get the roofing solution to protect your home for decades. LaBruciano Roofing is a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, which means they can offer the best warranty in the business with 50 years from the manufacturer, 25-year on the workmanship. Look, your home roof, right? It's too important to trust with some jack-of-all-trades, some dude, right? Go with the only roofing expert I recommend, LaBruciano Roofing. Here's how you remember his name. Just say it with me, LaBruciano, LaBruciano, LaBruciano. Call 610-265-ROOF. Go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros.com. LaBruciano Roofing, the master.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you, Pat. It was a really good win last night for the boys. they, that first half, they played a sensational floor game. They played wonderful defense. When you have Ben and you have Thybulle, I love Thybulle, and Thybulle played really, really well yesterday. Obviously, he was deadly from downtown, but he played great defense. When Ben and Thybulle are playing D like that, they just overwhelm guards. And you saw Donovan Mitchell. And this is my argument about Ben, and when people say, he regressed. Just look at the last couple days alone, his defensive prowess. I think we take that for granted. He won the game against Indiana with his defense. And you looked at Donovan Mitchell last night and what he did to Donovan Mitchell. He was 6-for-19. Donovan Mitchell was. You know, his shooting percentage from three against the Sixers is 19%. Almost, you know, almost half of what he is against everybody else. I mean, you know, that's Ben just clamping down. Well, I thought they played a wonderful floor game. I really loved Tobias's game yesterday because they're going to need offense from him. They're going to need mid-range. They're going to need him to come off of picks. See, I like him come off screen mid-range because that's money. And then when he's open in the corner for three, he takes the three. I'm not in love with running deep screens for him from downtown. I like it mid-range because I think that's what he is. I thought he was aggressive offensively. They need that. Horford played well. They did a lot of screen and rolls yesterday. I really liked the way the offense looked. And I know Utah came back in the fourth quarter, but it was a good win for them last night. That's still a good team. I know Toronto blew them out the night before, but that Utah team's good. They'll be better. They have to gel, and they got Conley at point guard instead of Rubio, which I thought was an upgrade. Bogdanovich gives them some scoring. So I thought it was a good win last night. And they're playing some good ball. They're now 10-0 at home. And I love that because what they're doing is that they're creating that home court, right? That advantage. They're creating a place. The fans go nuts. It's key to make that, you know, to be 10-0 at this point and keep racking up home wins. Let's get started. I need you guys, man. It's not pretty. Aaron in West Philly. Good morning, Aaron.
Yo, Ant, I know the obvious, man. We know the obvious. The defensive collapse. We know, you know, the things that was going on in that game. But I want to bring something up, and I hope you saw it at the game, okay? When they – Doug Peterson is not the – he's not a good coach, man. I'm going to have to just say it now.
Yeah.
Okay, the plays – if you look at Carson Wentz, I was studying this thing because I was supposed to be the scout for Doug Peterson, and I look at him. He's getting the plays in. You see Carson Wentz is looking at his helmet like, where's the play at? Where's the play at? Look at it. Where's the play at? Where's the play at? You know what frustrated me in this game? They was hiking the ball, man. I thought they was going to be getting penalized so much for delay of game. He's getting the plays in with like 10 seconds, 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and they getting up to the – I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It is terrible,
that's a good, great point. Yeah, I agree, Aaron.
It is terrible. Yeah. What is this man doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you something that a doctor gave me before. Doug Peterson is up in his head with no adult supervision. Now, check this out. He told me this. The doctor told me this.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can go around and thinking that you know what's going on, but you need somebody to be accountable to, or somebody could tell you something.
Yeah.
Or you can listen to other people. So that's accountability, which is saying that, you know, you all up in your head, and you don't have nobody to check you. First of all, if you're a coach and you see that your team is giving up all these touchdowns, you go over there and you go and tell Schwartz, listen, double team this boy over here because he's getting killed. Jalen Mills is getting killed.
It's amazing, right? Like, they got one receiver. Devontae Parker.
I mean, come on, man.
Like, that's absurd.
He just, I hate to say
And McCloud can't play. McCloud, I love, he's a good man, Rodney McCloud. Good man. But, yes. You know, he can't run.
But the way they set him up, he's getting over there so late.
I know.
Already go to that side because you know they're going to that side.
Yeah,
get over there. I mean, look at the whole game. He's always looking at his laminated book or whatever he got over there.
I talk about the offense and Doug Chart. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a reincarnation of Andy Reid sometime, man. When you're looking over
there. Listen, I got news for you.
Late.
Andy, you can say what you want about him. Andy is a much better coach than Doug Peterson.
Yes, he is, because at least he understands the game and how the flow of the game is going. Okay, now you don't run the ball in the second half. You only run it seven times, eh?
I know, and it should start. Yeah, I'm with you on the run. I heard Mike yesterday, and he's like, well, you know, you're up 28-20, and then, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, here's the thing. When you run the ball from the beginning, you have a sustained run game, right? Particularly when you're facing an inferior team, you take them out of the game by hitting them. You take them out of the game because you're imposing your will on them. He scored 28 points. Yeah, I get it. But when you can run on a team, it is, you're battering because you're going forward. You're beating up a defense. Also, the clock is moving, right?
Right.
So now all of a sudden, you know, you don't have to worry about heat and your defense wilting at the end of the game.
That's so right, Ant. So right. I mean, what is it? Doug Peterson is scaring the heck out of me, man. I mean,
I hear you. I agree.
And then his press conference is like, you know, I'm putting them in I'm putting them in the right positions, and they're not doing what you know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
I feel you.
2017 was a, you know, we sold our souls. You
know, I know. Don't bring it up.
We're not.
We'll talk about it another time, Aaron. I love you. Thanks, buddy. Brother. Take it easy. You know, I mean, when we're looking at Doug, and look, we love him. Well, I mean, you know, let's be real, right? Like, he's a lovable guy. He really is. He's not a hateable guy. Like, Schwartz is not the most fuzzy character, but Doug is. The problem with Doug is I think guys play for him. And I think he understands how to lead guys. I think he leads men. But I don't think he's, and I've said this, I don't think he's a very good X and O man. And this offense, I think, is wrong for the quarterback. And you look at his play calls, and he forgets about things. And how do you not call timeout when they come out in that formation? I mean, the first thing I'm doing, I see that. Timeout, timeout. I mean, everybody does that. I mean, come on. I mean, that's absurd. David in Baltimore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
All right, buddy.
Listen, I hate when a coach tells me at his press conference, and I love Doug. I think Doug is a good coach. But he tells me I'm not a professional athlete. Don't insult my intelligence, please.
I know, it's obnoxious. It is.
Doug, just shut up, okay?
Yeah.
Don't.
You're not Belichick, dude. All right?
Okay?
And you weren't Marino when you played. That's obnoxious.
It's a very obnoxious. And you know what? Look, I called you before the season, and I had a lot of reservations about this team. And you know what? I hate to say that I was right. I didn't want to be right. But let's be honest. We have to stop deluding ourselves as fans. This team was garbage last year, and they barely sneaked into the playoffs. And let's be honest. What real moves did they make this team better? They got Jordan Howard, and they signed an aging Deshaun Jackson. That's all they did.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that, you know, we've been through this before about drafting and personnel, and you're tied to older players, and then Deshaun kills you because if you can't count on Deshaun, your offense is kind of tumbling. But who expected this to? Alshon Jeffrey can't run. I didn't expect Alshon Jeffrey to fall off a cliff. He can't play. He's no good. Yeah, I don't want to hear, he had a good game. He wasn't going to have a good game. He don't dominate. He's a mediocre receiver.
At this point right now, he's a mediocre receiver. I also think him and, I don't care what people say, I don't think him and Carson get along, and I think that's a problem. But, again, I'm trying to look at this team this year and this team last year. The same complaints we had last year felt filtered right into this season about the defense. Do you remember last year how many times people called in the day after games complaining about the defense giving up terrible plays? So you just tell me what really got fixed between last year and this year. In my opinion,
you know what's crazy, though, Dave? This is what's nuts, right? Is the defense played great against New England. And I go, all right, well, but let's see him play well against Seattle and against a really good offense. And you saw that offense last night explode again. And they shut Seattle down. Now, I grant you, DK Metcalf had a couple big drops, but they played very, very well against the Seahawks. How could you put up a clunker in that game?
Hey, you know where I lost it in that game? Are you kidding me? A punter throws the ball to a kicker for a touchdown? They should all get lined up and smacked across the face for that one.
I know.
A punter to a kicker?
Well, that's why the timeout. That's why you got to call timeout. Right now, it's still, thank you, Dave. You got to call timeout. It's the formation. That was a play that they got caught by surprise because of the formation. That is all on Doug for not calling timeout. When you see that formation, the first thing you do is call timeout. That's negligence. Vinny and Delco, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vin.
Cuz, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Vin.
Oh, man, that had to be a rough weekend down there for you, bro.
It was great. It was awesome up until they played the game. Right? Dude, I got to tell you one thing, right? So we sit in front of a guy wearing a Dak Prescott jersey.
Oh, my God.
Who you talk about obnoxious? Who was rooting against the Eagles. I go, dude, if one thing, if you have a Dolphins root for you're Miami.
Right, you're a Dolphins fan. He really bought it, as a Cowboy fan, he really bought a ticket just to root against the Eagles.
Yeah, he was a J.O.
Oh, I'm
doing
sure.
First downs, clapping his I thought this guy was going to get knocked out 17 times by people.
I mean, yeah, there's enough in that game. You know, my head's still spinning between, like you said, the lack of a timeout on the special teams play. I mean, the lack of a run game when you're up by 14 points. The questionable play calling, like Aaron just said, the late getting the plays in. You can see Carson, he's reaction to it. Like, hey, what are we doing here? I mean, they're a mess, man. And it's too much for one thing to look at and assess blame in one area. It's a total failure at this point right now. And like you said, you got to figure out where to go from here. Who stays, who goes, and where do you go?
But here's my biggest fear. And, you know, it's not going to happen. Like, Doug's coming back.
Oh, sure.
But, I mean, should he really? I want to get into this at some point this week, but if we're going to be real about it, I don't know. I don't know what kind of faith I have in Doug Peterson right now.
Well, like you said, he could be a good leader of men. I still think the jury might be out on that. But they need an X and an O's guy bad. I mean, he doesn't know the flow of the game. I mean, they need somebody in there to take control of this offense. And to coach Carson up. Carson needs to be totally reassessed.
Yes.
Like you said, whether they change the offense, whether they do something, they need to play to his strength.
You got to build him back up at some point.
Absolutely.
He needs to be rebuilt, reprogrammed. You got to fix him.
You need another voice in that room to get his head back.
No, I mean, these coaches are horrible. I mean, let's be real. The receivers stink, okay? So that's part of it. And they were better a couple of years ago. Even Aguilar was better 2 years ago. So they've regressed immensely. The quarterback has regressed. What are these position coaches doing?
I don't know, man. But like I was getting ready to say, hey, at least we got the Sixers, my man. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, that's right. 10-9-8, baby. 10-9-8. Thank you, Vin. Appreciate it, brother. They're going to carry us.
They better.
No, they're good, man.
No, I think they're good.
We are, and this is how we are. We care so much, so we expect them to be a finished product. They do need... Brett said something. I know he got people's ire up a little bit about waiting until, you know, Christmas and New Year's, but he's right. You got to allow this team to have to understand how to play with one another, and you got to allow to experiment a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I know a few articles have been written. NBA insiders have said, is this team actually good? Because they're not blowing teams out, but I agree. I think you need to gel.
I think they're an elite defensive team, right? You're going to win by playing defense. And in the playoffs, you bear down on every possession.
I think you said it perfectly with Ben Simmons last night and Donovan Mitchell. And that's not the first time he's just shut down a team's best player.
Mitchell shoot and Donovan Mitchell against the Sixers and against Ben is shooting 19% from three-point land. That means something. Let's go to Goose. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Goose?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, buddy?
I wish I was better, man. I wish I had a better week, man. I'm embarrassed.
I know.
We talking about a 2-9 team before the game started, and they do that to us. And I'm sick of Dubs. I mean, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of him thinking he's smarter than everybody. I'm sick of his smug press conferences. I'm just sick of him. How it is that you got Carson Wentz? First of all, I'm not even gonna talk about running six times in the second half when your running back is averaging 5 yards a carry. Let's not even talk about that. But I've been screaming for Doug to get Carson out in the open. Get Carson out of the pocket. Bootleg, sprint outs. You do that for one drive, he takes you down there for six, and you don't see it again for the rest of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't get that with this guy.
I know.
What is wrong with this guy where he sees something working successfully, and he tries to say, let me go a different route with that. I don't get this guy.
He's not,
like you said, he is not an X and O's guy. He might be a great manager of men. That might be his skill set. But as far as calling plays, designing a scheme or a game plan, that's not his forte, and he's not the man for the job if that's the case.
You know, I hear you. I have a crisis of faith with Doug as that as well.
It just pisses me off when you got something that's working right there for you in the open. There's no reason you're going to give me an excuse to say you don't. Miles might not. Well, not him, but Miles might not be an every down back. How do you know? This kid is a rookie.
I don't want to hear that. I mean, it's insane. And by the way, it's not like, you know, you just have to be able to run the ball early, often. When you have an advantage like the Eagles' offensive line, let's not forget that Dolphins team, most of its best players were traded away. Right?
Before I go, let me just tell you one thing about Doug. Doug has called in the last three games, all one-score games, the previous two, and then yesterday we were up. Well, Sunday we were up. He's called 146 pass plays to 60 running plays.
Yep.
That is unacceptable. That's bad coaching. That's almost as bad as a Seahawks passing the ball on the 1 yard line.
Listen, and you're right, and here's the joke of it is, again, you're calling all these pass plays with these receivers.
With these receivers.
And a quarterback who right now is half shell-shocked.
I don't get it, man. What do you see that makes you say that, okay, I'm going to drop this guy back 50 times, three games in a row?
It's bad. I listen, Goose, I'm with you, brother. It's bad. It's bad. 610-632-0975. A little bit later on today, we'll talk to Jeff McClain. Little insight. Every Tuesday we talk to Jeff. And then after that, too, in the afternoon, we're going to play back the game just to get us even more angry.
We're sick.
But we care. Pat, we care.
It was like after the game, I listened to Doug Peterson knowing full well
You would be aggravated. Yeah,
nothing he was going to say was going to make me feel better.
Yeah.
And sure enough, everything he said pissed me off.
I know.
But hey, they're good football.
I mean, you know, I hate to do this, but like you wonder about play calls and you wonder about what, when you see an offense and you see kind of what they are, I don't know. I mean, it was 2017 it was just everything felt right. I mean, that's what it feels like. It feels like that was just, you know, blue snow. We'll talk about it.
Right now, it's yellow snow.
That's a good one. Holiday season is upon us. So what does that mean? Spending time with family, right? You're hanging out with everybody. What better way to visit family than in a new vehicle from Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram? This year, during all the great times this whole December. You can go get, you can get employee pricing plus, you'll pay what the employees pay, plus you get the huge family Black Friday discounts all month long. I mean, you're going to save 15 grand. I'm telling you, payments as low as $129 a month. I'm telling you, if you couldn't get there this weekend, the uncles extended their deals, all right? You can still check this out. Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, go see them in the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, where you're more than a customer, your family, telling you. See all the details online at familyautos.com. The discount down payment depends on model chosen. Now, the deal ends December 3rd. That's today, 2019.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, 10:52 on this Tuesday. So, Bro and I spent the weekend in Miami. We went to the game. Had a blast thanks to the great guys at Philly Sports Trips. Vince and Bob and
it's all good for
Well, listen, it was really good for us. It was good, but listen, Pat, it was good up until they played the game.
Yeah.
And then right. We got aggravated.
Look, if you two had known what the weather situation was at home, trust me, you guys ended up.
Well, we were monitoring it.
You ended up winning back.
It was that bad?
Oh my god, dude, it was so bad. It was
as
bad as
it was
game.
Depressing.
Yeah, it was it was cold, rainy, miserable. It was like God was crying because the Eagles lost to the Dolphins.
You know, it was amazing, though, because we get down there Friday night, and like when the sun comes up Saturday, and it's like that 80 degrees, and you're like, oh my God. You know when you feel like the weather, and you're like, wow, this feels so good. It's almost a tease that it was only 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that, 2 weeks ago. I went down to Disney for like 2 days.
And you feel that difference. 100%. It's like, wow. So Bro and I were by the pool drinking with some great Eagle fans from Levittown.
Yeah. Those guys were a good time.
They were fun. The one guy.
Toulmin?
Toulmin lost it early.
When the tequila shots come out around 2 in the afternoon, yeah. It's going to be a long day.
He didn't make the booze cruise.
He goes, the next day I saw him, I go, the Toulmin lives. He goes, yeah, I slept like 15 hours last night. Nobody woke me up for the booze cruise. And I go, yeah, there's a reason nobody woke you up.
You didn't need to be on there, brother. It was great, Tom. One of those guys were terrific.
It was great. Did you get the feeling leaving the stadium, though, that it was more sad than anger?
Yeah. We were all bummed out. We were real bummed out, except here's the thing. So me, you, and my father were in the seats, and we all the great people were hanging around.
By the way, those seats are a little tight down there at the Hard Rock, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, but how about the dude?
The biggest tool in the world?
So, like I told the one guy, in front of us, right to the right, like down, like a few seats away.
And the section was what, 85% Eagles fans?
Yeah, it was all Eagles fans, right? So you had this dude who is in a Cowboys Dak Prescott jersey.
I actually took a picture of it and tweeted it out.
Did you? I got it too because I
said this guy is the worst,
and he's a hate the face, and he was a creep.
Yeah, he was antagonizing an entire section of Eagles fans on purpose. Like he knew what he was doing, and high fiving with like just being like, "Oh, we already beat you once, we'll beat you again." And I was like, "Yeah, what happened 20 months ago, dude?"
Yeah, but like, what are you?
VHS.
But what I didn't understand was why would you wear a Cowboys jersey to an Eagles Dolphins game
to be a douche,
right?
Yeah.
And then listen, Like, poor Dolphins fans, whatever, fine people. And,
they're suffering. You almost feel bad for them.
Right. Suffering through, a terrible year and rough spots. Like, I got the ill will.
How about walking into the stadium? It's all Eagles fans, and they have, a guy on mic, a Dolphins employee like, telling people where to go. And he's kind of, he's doing a stand-up routine. And then a woman comes over to help him and sing the Dolphins fight song. And she gets booed at her own stadium.
Yes.
Like everybody.
We got our comeuppance because,
I think that's why it was sad.
Because it was.
We had no retort. It wasn't.
What were you going to say?
I didn't feel anger. It was more just depression.
Embarrassed.
The depression of, we're a bad team. It finally set in for me.
And it's funny because as the game's going on, we start to get a little antsy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is for during the whole game, right? Not just when they were up 28-20, we said, run the ball, Doug.
Yeah.
Right? From the beginning of the game, establish the run, Doug. Establish the run.
And then pay off later. Came out and we're going, how do you not call timeout? How do you? And we're punching each other.
Well, we're seeing the formation. We're going, timeout, 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 timeout.
And then Doug in the press conference on Monday almost tells on himself and goes, yeah, well, we know they have a high propensity to run those trick plays on special teams. So you knew they had a likelihood of running a special teams play, and you still weren't on alert to have a timeout ready? What?
And by the way, you had them.
And he goes, well, if we call a timeout there, maybe they come back out with another trick play. Was there a 2% chance of that, dude? Nobody's coming out with back-to-back trick plays off of a timeout.
Okay, well, then call timeout again. It was at the end of the half. You had your timeouts.
I know. It was weird. The whole game was just weird.
Doug acted like he was playing the Little Giants.
Yeah.
They have the books of trick plays.
I got to tell you, he was completely obnoxious during these news conferences.
Yeah, how about when you go, if you've ever played the game.
Yeah, that's obnoxious.
You lost me.
Sorry, Dan Marino.
We're not talking about splitting the atom. This isn't a science lab. It's football, dude. It's not the most complicated thing in the world.
Yeah, and he does that a lot. He does that a lot. He plays that card. Oh, I wish you could play quarterback and get hit the way Carson. Dude, really? Yeah. He does that a lot. And by the way, he's not good on his feet. He's not. Even think about this, right? The play that goes down in history, he didn't call it.
Nick Foles called it.
The quarter. He was like, all right, yeah. Like, the head coach. No, it's funny. Could you imagine Belichick doing that? Right?
Maybe. I mean, if it's Brady calling it, sure. I'm sure Bill's got his...
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I can't say he wouldn't. Like, it's Brady.
Put it this way. Now, McDaniel's obviously the offensive coordinator, calls plays. But if there is, some sort of huddle and they're figuring out which play to run, he had that,
You mentioned McDaniels and I get angry.
Why?
That creep. Backing out of the Indianapolis job.
Cost us Frank Reich, yeah.
I'm sure Bill promised him the keys to the kingdom to lure him back in. That's a creep move.
It was. But how about, it was worse because when we go back, I couldn't wait to get away from that dude.
Yeah,
he was driving me insane because he was the Prescott guy was first down in it, and he sat next to his Abe Lincoln with neck tattoos.
He had an Abe Lincoln beard.
Pat, he had this Abe Lincoln beard.
Nothing wrong with that.
With the neck tattoos, right? The
bold look.
He looked like Florida man. He looked like your stereotypical Florida.
Yeah, he was definitely. He has committed many, many crimes, and
there's bath salts in his back pocket.
Yeah, there's something wrong, man. And so it's Prescott and Abe Lincoln, and they're like really Italian. Yappy. They are, and these two big dudes next to us.
They were great,
and I kept waiting.
I thought it was going
to
erupt
because when we got back to the seats, I go, I thought you would have knocked them out by now. It was
a weird day.
It was a strange day.
Great trip. I didn't want a football game ruining the trip. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, it really was. Those guys, how about it? The tailgate was awesome.
The booze cruise, all of it. It was phenomenal. It was a great weekend, and I was just kind of down. It wasn't anger, which normally is where I'd go. It was just, man, we suck.
I mean, we were kind of upset, though.
Yeah, but not like... I mean,
the whole bus, the bus back to the hotel, everybody was upset.
The guy next to me was listening to Doug, and I he was streaming the press conference, and I put my ear open. I was like, I'm going to eavesdrop in with you. And he goes, when Doug goes, well, that's a good football team we just lost to. I went, ah, geez, I'm done.
Yeah, good football team, really.
Yeah.
That, that's obnoxious.
If they...
Shut up, dude.
Maybe
they're not a good football team.
They
traded away most of their good players.
Yeah.
They're not good.
No.
All right?
Xavier Howard's not even
you
playing.
You suck. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Eric Rowe's out there playing for you. Good football team? Okay.
Dude, let me...
He got a contract extension yesterday for that.
Oh, good for him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.